Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name's Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guests today are self-described purveyors of renegade pop. That's their own unique blend of rock, punk, pop, and hip-hop. The custom-made genre hints at their diverse blend of influences, ranging from Juice WRLD to Justin Bieber and the Smashing Pumpkins. You can get a taste by listening to their new single, Assassin. After coalescing in the early days of the pandemic, they've been co-signed by pop-punk gods Pete Wentz and Mark Hoppus. We touched on their new music, old influences, and what's to come from this exciting new group. I'm so happy to welcome Beauty School Dropout. First off, you got your latest single, Assassins, that just dropped, and you've said it's about the things that you love, but it can kill you at the same time. I feel like we've all been there in some ways, one form or another. Can you tell me a little bit more about that song?
Yeah, you know, I think...
We wrote it about COVID.
Yeah, about being glazed by COVID. No, you know, it's just that the age-old lore of, like, we always want what we can't have, or, you know, sometimes we get into these relationships that trap us into, you know, lustful desires rather than like things that are good for us or healthy for us. And we've obviously had our fair share of those toxic relationships. So we kind of tapped into that energy again.
It's such a great track. And I loved the teaser clip that you shared with Pete Wentz and Mark Hoppus. It was just so funny. I know you work very closely with those two now. What's it like being with them? I mean, you know, they're like, to me, they're like the founding fathers of pop punk. Maybe Billy Joe Armstrong in there too, but I mean, that's got to be so great working alongside them.
It's pretty absurd.
It is insane. Like, they're like, as we get close to them, like, obviously, like, it feels more like just like a friendship and like,
that's cool.
A partnership and all these things, but it still does feel just as cool getting a text from one of them or working with them. It's so sick.
Yeah, Mark always texts me to ask for computer help. And so
his personal IT.
I'm his IT guy now. But no, it's pretty cool. It's like, it's pretty surreal being kind of, you feel like you're kind of the chosen band in a way.
Seriously.
You're like, okay, cool. Like, and we've got some big shoes to fill. But I think I kind of go back to this idea that like eventually we're going to be passing the torch onto someone else, hopefully, if, you know, we play their cards right. And I think that's kind of the thing that really inspires me, is like crushing this opportunity we have in front of us so that we can go pass that torch on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who were some of the other folks that made you want to start making music?
Dad. Dad.
All of our dads, definitely.
Yeah, we have a bunch of rock dads through and through. It's funny, they actually, when we have shows, they all come out and they meet up and we call them the DILF Squad. So if you ever, if y'all ever see the DILF Squad triangulating at one of our shows, definitely feel free to say what's up.
I love it. They're more rock star than us.
They really are.
It's
party,
insane.
They party harder than we do.
It's
we
so just, sick.
We don't party. We're nerds. They go hard.
I feel like the harder your parents party, the more you're inclined to kind of be the more bookish, like indoor type, maybe. Maybe that's just me, but because I got a party your dad myself, so.
You get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then as far as music influences, it's definitely like Mark, because Blink-182, Fall Out Boy, Green Day. I know that Cole grew up listening to like a little bit heavier stuff. Bardo and I listened to like a lot of pop punk, like Sum 41, Offspring. All that stuff.
I loved it, like indie rock, like Arcade Fire.
Yeah. Like, oh, I came from like metal and punk. So I don't know, like everything from Sabbath to like Black Flag to the more modern like post-hardcore stuff that's on the radio nowadays. Like even Bring Me definitely set me up for my hardcore days.
I think a lot of our influence weirdly comes from, I mean, we listen to everything because we write and produce for other artists as well. So we write for pop writers too, you know, or pop stars and rappers and, you know, whoever. So it's just kind of, we've been in these situations where we get to like create a bunch of different styles of music. And I think because we're constantly in those comparison settings, we're just like always pulling those influences into our stuff. And like, I was listening to some of like demos we had the other day and I was like, dang, like this doesn't really sound like anything else. It's this weird mix of like, you know, hip hop, rock and pop, like pop all over the place. But it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's fun. I love what we're doing.
Yeah, I saw a Spotify list that you shared of just stuff you were listening to, and it had everything from Smashing Pumpkins to Justin Bieber on it. And it's just this incredible range. And that totally shows up in your music too. Do you know the social media account? I don't know why I phrased it like that. That's the most grandpa way I could have ever phrased that. But it's a Twitter account, it's an Instagram account, Dust to Digital.
No.
Oh, so this really interesting guy. He's like part archivist, part like music historian, and he shares all these clips of like people in foreign countries making music out of like rocks, and like there's like a people in South America playing the river like a drum, just all these crazy different types of music, and it all shows up in his account, and it's so interesting. I mean, I bet you there's probably a lot of producers who sample a lot of that stuff too, because it's really interesting. But I was lucky enough to talk with this guy, and he had this theory about how every 30 years there's a turnover of the new primary genre. I mean, starting with jazz kind of morphing into rock and roll in the 50s and in the 80s, hip hop taking over. And then he was talking about how, you know, in 30 years after the 80s, it's the 2010s, what's the genre? And then he was saying, the genre is everything, like with a capital E. It's like we now have all this music at our fingertips. It's just a complete amalgamation, and you take little pieces of from everywhere and make something totally new out of it. And that's the new genre. It reminds me of what you're saying.
It's pretty weird how, like, as we have more access to information and data, and obviously, like, everything through the internet, like, the cultural pendulum starts swinging faster. It's like, I don't know, if just even going back to that thought, seeing how we shifted from, like, this, like, Nickelback, Daughtry rock to all of a sudden, like, EDM and, like, Skrillex and Avicii and all these people taking over the radio to all of a sudden like trap and rap to now like back to rock. It's like been in these crazy like 3 to 5 year stints.
It's all cyclical.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But I like now, I think because there's no barriers, like everyone just collabs on everything and just steals from everything. The key is stealing from everything. Steal like an artist.
Yeah, what's that? It's like true artists steal, but they know who to steal from. I think that's the phrase.
That. I think he said it was like great artists copy, true artists steal. It's true. If you steal it, it's yours. If you copy it, you're copying. So
because you can never copy it exactly.
We're trying to steal from everyone. So we wear balaclavas every time we make music because we just feel like we're robbing.
Steal from everyone
else's swag.
Well, Cole, you said something really interesting in a recent interview that you think that we'll reach a new level of recycling rock music, kind of what you're talking about, all the sounds of it. And you name check people like Jairus Johnson. I wanted to ask you more about that.
Totally. I mean, kind of like I said, the cultural pendulum is swinging faster and faster. And I think, like, I don't know, we obviously have seen this phase of like really heavily Blink influenced music come and I don't want to say go, but definitely is like evolving very quickly into what is now like, obviously, like I said, there's people doing kind of like the Nickelback thing, or there's people doing like, I don't know, I was even listening to a friend's records. I'm not going to say who, but they're tapping more into like the old Kiss vein and like 70s, 80s glam rock and how that can be mixed into modern production, which is, that's exciting to me. Cause that's where I'm like, okay, guys, like history of rock goes far before the early 2000s. Like, let's get deep in our pockets if we're really going to go there, you know? So I guess that's kind of where my brain has been, is like seeing who is going to steal like an artist from that bag of tricks and that palette and like be able to make it into something modern and fresh.
Oh, it's so interesting to see. Talk to me about how you guys all came together, because sounds like it was fairly recently in the pandemic. I mean, Cole and Brent, I know you were in the Strange Faces together, but how did you all coalesce, the three of you?
Have you ever heard of the app Grindr?
Yes, I have.
They have this like for threes section, and that's where we
met up there and just kind of like, you guys want to make a band?
We thought Bardo was a catfish, so I brought B with me.
That's exactly.
To make sure we were safe, but
he's not a catfish.
He's not a catfish.
He's more beautiful in real life.
Yep. Yeah.
He's actually just a bad, I don't know if I can swear on the radio.
So I'm a bad. Go for it.
Bitch.
I'm a bad bitch.
He's not a catfish. He's a bad bitch.
But yeah,
I slid in to his ex's DMs, him being Beepus, and she was like, oh, yeah, we can hang out. Can I bring my boyfriend? And I was like, yeah. And then turns out he actually just became my boyfriend.
It's
and
true.
I poached him.
Look, we're still together.
This is a true story. And then I used to co-produce events with this place called Winston House. Our mutual friend was performing and she introduced Bardo and I. And at that point, like, I'd been kind of well into like songwriting for other people. His whole background's producing for other people. And, you know, we've all been in bands our whole life. So when we got in, there was just this like, this tangible synergy that was so hard to recreate with anyone else. And from then on, it was like, I mean, really, it's like since that day, it's been like every day for the last 3 years.
We fell in love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just happened out of nowhere. It's definitely not expecting it, but here we are.
Because, yeah, Cole, weren't you initially considering having like a solo venture, and then it just sort of became what it is now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because like the frontman of the other band started kind of like writing his own stuff. And at that point, I was like, I've spent my whole life playing guitar in bands, but I always knew that the one I wanted to like fully send on, I would be fronting. And so at that point, I was just like, well, I'm already homeless and broke. Like, what else is there to lose, you know? So may as well choose the lowest paying job in America and be a songwriter. So did that. And started songwriting for other people. And at that point, I was kind of like flavor testing with producers and just like also learning how to be a songwriter and like how to make music, you know, in a way that is not just like, I don't know, there's levels to it, right? Like, I think that there at the end of the day, there's a certain like algorithm and math that comes with songwriting that you can acknowledge or you can't. And like at that point is when I started to acknowledge it.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
How much when you're songwriting is a result of what you hear in your head versus experimentation, just like in the moment?
I think it's like pretty 50-50. I think the first 50 is usually what you hear in your head, and then bringing that from pen to paper. And then from there, it's usually like the rest of it is revising it and molding it into something that is bigger and better. As Bardo always says, he's like, we're designing sound. You know, we're literally designing sound waves. That is what producing and songwriting is. So it's like really an interesting process. But yeah, I'd say like 50-50.
Yeah, it's really weird when you think about what we're doing. We're just like tweaking things to make sound waves sound different. Like these things you can't see, but you can feel. And they make you have dopamine boosts in your brain. And then we put them out. That's what we do. But yeah, it's a big experimentation. Like none of us really know what we're doing. At all. Like you go into a session and you're like, this is gonna be shitty. And then, like, oh, this is really dope. You know, like this cool thing came out of it. Or like you had this throwaway idea that you thought was trash that, you know, B had an idea that he said you played in like when you were in high school, right? That,
yeah.
Like, for Contact Eye, that bass riff.
Well, it was like actually like super influenced from a song that I wrote when I was like 15.
Yeah. So it's like shit like that where you just like, oh, wow, did not think this would be anything. And then, it becomes something. And then you turn on a microphone and you just like, all right, you try it and you try it and you try it. And you just throw melodies down with just gibberish and then you fill in the blanks, you know? So there's no right or wrong way to do it. But we've also recently been tapping into like trying to write the song first before we even produce it. And just like, we call it the campfire test where you just, once you get an idea, you're like, cool, before we throw anything else, because you can kind of get disguised. Like that's where like a lot of modern production now is like, cool, you have a crazy beat, like the song. Can you like sit there by a campfire and sing it, you know? So it's like, I think that's the real key. Does the song stand up? And if the song stands up, the production just comes easy.
Well, here's a question from a very personal place. I'm somebody who's loved music my whole life. I can play a couple different instruments. I've never been able to write a song in my entire life. I can't do it. I don't know if I'm just not tapped into that part of the universe. I'm too inhibited. I don't know what it is, but what would you say to someone like me who's having a hard time sort of tapping into that part of themselves? Like, how do you start basically?
You let go.
Take some mushrooms.
I heard that answer a number of times.
It's true.
From some of my dearest friends.
Yeah. But Bardo said also just like letting go. It's like a matter of just like, the first 1,000 are probably going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But that's like, it's just
that's
like
okay.
Experience through it. Like, it's like, if you finish a song, that's the hardest thing ever to do.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's this crazy ego chat where you're like, oh, dang, I got to like, I mean, you just got to not care. Because there really is no right way to do it. There's no right answer. There's no like, oh, this is good. It's just, does it feel good? Cool.
Have you heard Baby Shark before?
Yes, I have.
Like on
yes.
paper, that song sucks, but like, but when you listen to it, you're like, this song, bang,
slap.
It's awesome. And like, it's like a cultural phenomenon. It's like, if I told you I'm gonna write a song about baby sharks, you're like, don't do it.
It's the whole family of sharks.
And the family of sharks.
Also, yeah. Keeping in mind that there's like 4 or 5 parts at most, usually, and like keeping that to ground you is like, you know, it is this big scary thing. It's like, oh, I have to make words and sounds and all these things work together. But it's like realistically a song usually is a composition of 4 or 5 parts. It's like, you know, as long as they don't even have to be good parts, just identify those parts.
I went to visit my mom a couple weeks ago and I was like helping her clean out like her closet. I found this box that she had kept all my like original songs like in a binder. It was literally a binder like this thick of just all these like songs that I had from early days. And it was just like like little like napkins and or whatever. And I just like, just, I had a song called 98. Just like the song was called 98. And it was just, lyrics were just 98 the whole time in different like cadences, different flows. But basically it was like, I think I wrote that when I was like two or something. But it was just like at least like little things. But she kept it. No, like actually, like I've like, it was wild to see because I'm like, oh my God, these like things. I had a ukulele when I was a kid. Just like, but I think it's that kind of thing. Like you said, the first thousand are going to suck. And it's like, you look back then, it's like, yeah, all these songs are just like random words thrown together. But then like you evolve and you flex that muscle. You just work out.
I'm still on song 600.
Yeah.
So I got 400 more to go until I can write a really good banger.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would Malcolm Gladwell say about that? 600, you're getting close. Wow, I mean, so it sounds like this has been a part of your life making music, all of you, since you know you were, you know, learning to walk and learning to sing around the same time. It sounds like
my dad wanted to name me Stevie Ray or Eddie Van.
That rules.
My mom was pissed about it, so she didn't let it happen.
We were definitely bred by our parents. Thank you, dads.
The rock dads, the Del Squad. Yeah.
My dad's like not very into music at all. My dad's like an entrepreneur. He's a very creative person. He's probably the most eccentric one. He's more eccentric than all of us combined.
That's true.
Yeah. But like weirdly enough, I just kind of like was like, yeah, music. But he was supportive of it. That's the key. I think a lot of kids don't have support from their parents. I think that's the big difference. Is like the reason all of us are in this position today is because like throughout our lives, it was like, you know, even when B was in trouble, he was grounded, but his punishment was he had to play music. Like that was like his thing. So it was like, you know, it all kind of flows back in this thing of like where a lot of parents be like, no, hell no, you're not playing music. It doesn't make sense. But it's like it's fun. It's a great life. It's like, you know, we're all depressed, but it's awesome.
I mean, yeah, to take an instrument out of a kid's hand feels like taking a book out of a kid's hand. It's like, that seems just cruel to me. That's, yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier about the campfire test versus stuff that you're doing in the studio. And it almost sounds like the difference between, you know, composing and songwriting as a skill versus sort of making like soundscapes. Are there any people who really influenced you as soundscapers? Like I'm a big Brian Eno fan and love Pink Floyd. I'm a big classic rock guy.
Robin Thicke.
Trent Reznor for me, like he's just so good at just like creating emotion through sound.
Yeah.
And like hence why he does so many movies and stuff, but like it's so cool to like listen to someone that like writes really good songs and then writes really good compositions that make you feel something without necessarily words.
I was really inspired by Kanye West as a kid. His level of just weird sounds. And you like, he'll put something out and then a year or two later, you'll see everyone else kind of catching up to what he did, you know? And it's like his like level of sound design is crazy. Or it's like, you know, he's a true curator. You know, he picks up other things and creates these like weird things.
Deftones and Frank Ocean for me. And Tyler, the Creator, and Kendrick as well. A lot of rap dudes. It's funny because people always ask, they're like, oh, like if you could write with anyone or if you could get in the studio with anybody, who would it be? And every single time I answer like all the rap dudes. I love Baby Keem. I love Kendrick. I love Tyler. I love ASAP. I think they have like the rock has such a formula to it, you know, and rap does as well. But I think there's a different nature to it in that spirit of like that swag and that kind of like oomph. I definitely like to let influence a lot of the things that we do for sure.
I love just taking apart some of those songs. Like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is one of my favorite albums of all time. And just like picking apart all the samples and seeing where they all come from. I mean, that's one of my favorite things to do just because, I mean, for me, it helps me appreciate it more because it's just like, oh my God, not only are you such a fan of music that you're pulling in stuff from such a wide place, what we were talking about earlier, but just the way that you assemble it in such a way that I'm a big old vinyl nerd. I love collecting old soul 45s from the 50s and 60s. I had no idea that was that bass line from like, you know, an old Stax track or something. It's crazy.
I love about it, like the high contrast of things.
Yeah. You
know, I think oftentimes I kind of picture music as like a thing in my brain. Like I can like see like the textures of it. You know what I mean? And I think there's this really cool thing that Kanye does where he just like everything's really saturated and distorted, you know, but it's like taking something that like a smooth vinyl record and then like pairing that with like a really heavy hitting snare that is clipping and just like mangled. And it's like, oh, but then it goes back to like a quiet moment and then a loud moment and a quiet moment. There's like intense dynamics and the high contrast of stuff. And it's just like, it's weirdly enough, it's kind of like the same kind of like style, like in like physical art, like the high contrast, like the pop art, like Warhol was doing and like that kind of stuff. But I kind of picture a lot of those, like Skrillex has a similar kind of vibe, you know, like the really intense, like their whole motive behind what they're doing is to distort everything. And like, but like digital distortion, where everyone will tell you, do not distort things digitally. And they're like, no, we're going to. That's the whole point. So it's pretty cool. It's like breaking the rules is like rule number one.
Oh, absolutely. What was that great Warhol piece where it took an early Xerox machine, one of the first Xerox machines, and just Xeroxed a picture, I think it was of Chairman Mao, over and over and over. And because the technology wasn't that great, it would almost look like silly putty. It would get all distorted and strange. And then he would take those and frame those distorted pictures and frame them. And that was his piece. And that's it sounds like similar to what you're saying, the distortion.
Exactly. Well,
I love that.
Rules. And just like twisting things. Like Warhol was remixing art. That's all he was doing. He's just making beats on canvas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
While we're on the topic of influences, I need to ask this. I am a big fan of Grease. I was in the play in high school. I was Vince Fontaine. I have to ask your name. Give me the story on the name. I love the name so much.
That was my grandma's favorite song in Grease. And I watched that movie probably over 100 times. And you know, it's funny because when the name came, it wasn't even like, that wasn't really the thought process. It just kind of, I'm super weird and OCD about titling things. And this was like still when I was like writing alone on just like a lot of music. And I think the project, I was calling it like Doom or something completely different. And then I was
opposite
like,
ends.
Yeah, totally different. And so I threw Beauty School Dropout in my bio on Instagram. And then like, I remember I had a cut coming out with this group Highly Suspect. And at the time I was like, oh, like, should I make this my artist name? Like, you know, whatever. And he's like, Johnny was like, no, dude, just use your name. And I was like, okay. But then we had all met and I was like, okay, well, fuck it. Maybe it makes sense for it to be the band's name. And it kind of just ended up sticking.
It's convenient. I think we all have an attachment to Grease too. Like, I was dancing on my buggy in my diaper singing Go Grease Lightning and like swinging the shirt. Like, there's videos of me. I never talk about it, but like that, I was literally obsessed with this movie too when I was a kid. And, like,
it's the best.
And I was like 4 years old.
You never told me about this.
I know, because I let you have your moment where you're like, your sweet grandma moment. Where you're like,
damn, I wish I knew this.
But yeah.
Where are these videos at?
I'll get them.
Please do.
Well, is it as a music video?
That would be that's a great TikTok.
I remember, like, when I was a kid, my little sister was in Greece and I went to see the play. And I remember asking my mom, like, what is Beauty School Dropout? And she was like, oh, it's like when you failed out of everything.
That is us.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn, like, that's hard. But it's weird. Like, I distinctly remember, like, of the entire play. I don't even remember the play. I just remember, like, that asking my mom that. It's weird, like, after all these years. And I'm like, and then this band called Beauty School Dropout. And I was like, oh, cool.
We manifested it.
Yeah. Failing out of everything. So you just form a band.
That's us. The meaning behind it, I think, was very tongue-in-cheek with, like, I used to make these magazines for, I had a project I called it Death Cells. And, like, the slogan of it was Vanity Kills Death Cells. And I've always been very drawn to the idea of, like, just as a society, obviously, we kind of have this nature of, like, sheepishly going for things with vanity and rather than, you know, just being our full authentic self. Because obviously every human has our, like, ego attached to everything we do. And so I think, like, in large, that statement of Beauty School Dropout was, like, the prettiest way of saying something synonymous to that idea of, like, hey, it's okay to detach from those things and those feelings and to just, like, completely be yourself and feel safe in your skin.
I feel like you got to get, like, an album blurb from Frankie Avalon or something, though. I feel like you got to bring it full circle with him.
We also, it's a nice, like, identifier of how big we are, because when you type in Beauty School Dropout, the minute you don't see Frankie Avalon anymore, you see how faces.
We then, know we've made it.
Then we're hopefully rich at that point.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can, yeah.
Once we top Google.
God, that'd be fun.
Beauty School Dropout is just such an amazing phrase. And you've described your sound as, I love this so much, renegade pop. I just think that's the coolest phrase. I want to ask you, who are some people in the past who maybe had a renegade pop sound and didn't know it? Or are you the first? Or are there no others?
Nirvana.
Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Actually, that later on in his career.
I was going to say. Like, yeah, later
on. Yeah. I think it's like, it's this kind of thing of, I bring me bring Horizon sure, right now. Totally. But they're doing, I think it's kind of this thing of, like, it's pop, but you don't know it is. And I think that's what, like, Nirvana crushed. They were just writing pop songs, but just made it heavy. Like, we always go into sessions, we're just like, we literally will say, like, Assassin, the one that's coming out tomorrow, or the 20, or the, it's out. I don't know if, when we're doing this interview, timeline for this, you can cut this, but Assassin, the single Assassin is like, when we were writing it, we were literally like, how can we write a Bieber song, but just make it as heavy as, like, Bring Me or something? And I think we did that. That was the goal. So,
I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this a bunch of times, but I'm so fascinated. What was it like to start a band in the middle of a global pandemic? I mean, on one hand, I imagine there must be all sorts of logistical nightmares that go along with that. But in another, was it almost nice for lack of a better term, an incubation period? Like, I read that you went up to a warehouse space for like a week and had, you know, like a lock-in and kind of started to learn to gel. Was it, what were the pros and cons of sort of starting out in the middle of all this?
A lot of learning went down during the pandemic.
On paper, sure. It's like the worst thing we possibly could have done, but in spirit, probably like the coolest thing we could have done. Just because, I mean, imagine being a band, right, where 75% of your career is like playing shows, meeting people, congregating, doing all these things, and then having to basically try and create a platform for yourself where your only leg up is like digital platform and digital footprint. So it definitely led to like a very heavy incubation period. You know, at the time when COVID started, we had already been in the studio just about every day for like 6 months cataloging. And so that didn't really change. Like in fact, I'd say most of the bigger changes to the band that were made were like almost in the second half of COVID, when we really started thinking like, okay, things could open up and like, this is what it could lead to. You know, how do we tackle it? You know, this is a bigger project than just the music. This is like the business, the operation, our Web3 stuff, like so many different ventures under one umbrella. And that's when I think it allowed us the time and space to realize like, oh, this is much more than just like a couple dudes playing music. And like, this is what we need in order to achieve the goals that we're going for.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the digital footprint, and there's been a lot of talk on the internet lately about artists and their relationship to TikTok for diplomatic reasons. That's all I'll say about that. I was wondering about your thoughts about TikTok and how it relates to the creative process of making music and how it's sort of been changing the industry.
A love hate for sure. It's one of those things that only comes along once in a blue moon, and it's like a crazy discovery tool. But it's also a complete disruptor of the entire market, and it's like it's democratized everything. It's made it so, you know, a girl in her bedroom who's writing songs that is in Alabama that doesn't even think of being in the music industry can all of a sudden pop off and, oh, okay, cool, and maybe now I can start something here, and it gets the ball rolling. But it's like, that's unheard of. Like, that wasn't a thing 20 years ago, you know, and that wasn't a thing 5 years ago. So it's like, that's a crazy, crazy powerful tool, but it's also this intense like pressure that it puts on a lot of artists. That's like, oh, if you're not doing it, you're going to fail. And it's like, my frustration with it is that I feel like there's a lot, it's like people put an emphasis on TikTok like it's the only thing. You know, it's like the only thing to do. It's like, oh, you make music? Well, you should make a TikTok. And it's like, well, okay.
I think the greater issue is like the mechanics of it, right? Because it's like, you now have this thing where, I mean, I'm sure as you've seen, like Halsey speaking up on it a lot, is the idea that like most of these labels are declining releases based on whether or not they can like peak on a trend. And I think that's a little bit,
It's made it easy for the labels to say no.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's you're not trending. Great. We're not going to do shit for you.
But like, at the end of the day, it's like, you still got to promote your music. You know, if TikTok didn't exist, it's like kids would still be bitching about the fact that they have to go down to Melrose and fly up their posters. You know, it's like, there's always going to be something to complain about. So it's like at the end of the day, it's just an opportunity to promote your music and like outreach to new audiences.
And this one you can do from your bedroom.
Yeah exactly.
Which is,
yeah.
I think the key is like turning into something fun and turning into something that like isn't a chore. You know what I mean? And finding your thing. It's like your thing is going to be different than the other person's thing. And the reason their thing worked is because they're the one doing it. So it's like your sauce is different inevitably because it's you. So it's like finding what works for you and connecting with your audience. I think that's the real takeaway. I think that's something we've been trying to tap into is like, so we're on TikTok, we do our thing, and like we've, you know, figured out for a long time. It took us like, what are we even doing on here? Like, this is ridiculous. But then what we realized, like, oh, people really like these covers we're making. We were making during the quarantine, we were like remixing these, basically we're taking like Drake songs and turning them into rock songs and or like other popular songs and like flipping them into these other things. And people were like, oh, this is really cool. And we were filming it in our living room, us like playing it and stuff like that. And that caught on to a lot of people. And then now it's just kind of like we're feeding the beast and like, you know, to our audience. And it's like, this is this weird thing, but it's like, it's not going anywhere. And it was going to be another thing. And it's like, I'm very grateful for it, but I get frustrated. But I've also been like realizing as you grow, there's more things. There's other things other than TikTok, like this podcast is what we're doing. Like this is valuable.
Interviews,
meeting fans. Like you can't take away shows. Like shows are still how this whole thing works. And I think that's something that a lot of labels and TikTok artists are realizing now because they had songs pop off on TikTok during the quarantine and shows come around and they're like, cool, I'm gonna play a show. And there's like four people there. And they're like, oh, damn, this is way harder than I thought. It's like, that's, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Unless you're doing something that the audience connects with. And I really, at the end of the day, none of this shit matters unless you have a community. That's our day one. We've been like, 1,000 fans is far more important than 1,000,000 streams. I don't give a shit about streams because they're not paying us like 0.2 cents.
Sorry, Bardo has a potty mouth.
Yeah, you can bleep it all. It's okay.
It's all good.
But yeah, it's like, it's way more entertaining to have an audience that cares about what you're doing and is like, believes in what you're doing. And that's what we've done with the Dropouts. We have this audience that like, we love, they're our family. So that's what we're going to keep doing.
Hell yeah, that's a beautiful message. What do you have coming up next? I mean, is there a release date for an impending album on the horizon? We got Assassins coming out the day this podcast drops, so it's the same day.
Can we talk about it? We can't give you dates yet. We do have an EP in the works. Album, EP, whatever you want to call it, a project of multiple songs coming out later this summer before we go to a festival we're playing that we also are yet to announce, and that's in the UK. We will be going to the UK in August, so make of that.
Man!
Oh yeah, we got a lot of music coming out really soon. It's been actually so relieving to be not only signed, obviously, but like to get signed and then to have that same sense of urgency of like, okay, we need a rollout and we need to be consistent and we're gonna put it out now, like. I can tell you how hard it is to put music out and have a song be coming out by the time you already are like over it. Whereas, Assassin we wrote less than like 3 months ago and we're still stoked on it.
Wow.
So it's such a cool feeling to have music that you're like genuinely excited about and super proud of coming out, like while you're still super excited and proud of it.
Oh, that is awesome. I can't wait to hear what you have in the pipes. I can't wait to see you out there. Beauty School Dropout, thank you so much for your time today and your music. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.